Welcome to the Emo Social Club, your home for music news and interviews. I am Lizzie, and what is up, everybody? What is up, gamers? I haven't talked to a lot of people today, so we're just gonna forego that really quickly. In this episode, we are going to do a couple of recaps of some of the album reviews for When We Were Young Fest that we have been doing. Here we will have All American Reject self-titled, Discovering the Waterfront by Silverstein, and Story of the Year's Page Avenue. But before we jump into that, just a reminder to follow us on all of our social apps at Emo Social Club over on Instagram and X Emo Social Club X over on Twitter and on TikTok. And we're still growing. We're nearing that 6K follower mark. So make sure that you are in on it and that you are telling all your friends to go and hang out with us over there. We also have the Emo Social Club Patreon. It is only $1 a month if you so choose. Otherwise, it's free. It's everything that's left on the cutting room floor and anything else in between. They include longer interviews as well that we have made chopped up a little bit. So there's also some really fun tidbits in there too. And other than that, we don't have too much going on. We've been having a busy couple of weeks, so we're a little bit tired. So hopefully you enjoy these recaps and you go and watch the full videos over on our YouTube channel as well. And also to mention, we have two separate YouTube channels that you should be both following, of course. One of them houses all of our interviews separately and the other one houses all of our other content. All right, without further ado, here are just some snippets of what you can expect with our terrible takes for some of our When We Were Young Fest album recaps.
In this episode, we are reviewing Silverstein's Discovering the Waterfront. And Lizzie, Silverstein's been around forever, but maybe our audience doesn't know who Silverstein is. Maybe they don't know about this record. Please tell the people at home more about them and this record.
This was the second studio album that they released via Victory Records on August 16th, 2005. It was produced by Cameron Webb and included Smile in Your Sleep and Discovering the Waterfront, which is the title track. And even though My Heroine is on this album, it technically wasn't a single.
Just a video?
It wasn't listed as a single release.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it might have been one where it just got popular and they said, let's make a video for it.
Or because it's called My Heroine, and so you can't put that on TV.
Yeah, that's also true.
Even though it's a different word.
But, you know, it gets
this
the
one,
same
vibe.
They
were doing the same. Yeah, they were doing the thing.
So this charted on number 24 on Billboard 200 and number 3 on the Indie Billboard US chart.
We're going to tell you what we think about this record. Before we do, make sure to hit the subscribe button. It is down there, down below. There's also a like button and a playlist with all of our album reviews. So you can let us know if we've already talked about your favorite. Maybe your favorite's coming up, but you won't know unless you subscribe. So hit the button. Do it now, or you will forget. I'll wait. I'm not waiting. We're going to talk about the record, but do it. Do it. Get it done. You know when you've like seen a movie in parts when you're like watching it on TV or something like that, and so you're like, I've never really sat and watched it from beginning to end. I think that's how I've heard this record, because I've seen them live so many times. I've seen all these songs played. So this is like, okay, I'm going to sit. We're going to sit here. I'm going to actually like pay attention to what's going on. This album is such a goddamn ripper. This album fucking rules.
Your brain right now is fucking bursting, homie.
I was like, holy shit. This album is so good. Like, there is so much about this that is like exactly that time and place. And I think for me, there's a lot of that nostalgia to it, but certainly like the songwriting, the vocals, the melodies, the guitars, the way this album is sequenced, the things that they do on this record. I'm like, no, this was like one of the prime records of that time, like one of the must hears. And I think that's why like I heard it so much, is like this is very clearly like where the pinnacle of this style of music is. And Silverstein's still around, still doing it, and still re-releasing this record and still doing a lot with this record. So like clearly it's got a lot going for it. I absolutely stand by this record. I love this record. I'm like, yeah, it took me this listen to go, no, I not only like these songs as I've heard them separately, but like this as an album and a cohesive record. I'm like, yeah, I'm in. I'm sold.
But to start off, I never even knew Silverstein was a band until recently. I found out the name of Silverstein in my last year of college, like 2016, 2017. I think overall, I was pretty impressed by this. I really like this.
Good.
What immediately kicked it up is a Ripper song. I ran over, I smashed that like button.
Yep.
It was so good. I was so shocked. And I don't know if I was just shocked that I liked it, because usually if Brian really likes something, I usually don't. I think that's funny.
I mean, we've sometimes found a few here.
We found a few. I just think it's funny overall.
Yeah.
But I also had just like really no thoughts about Silverstein really, like sonically or anything. So I went in just completely like, I gotta listen to this. So we'll see what happens. Thoroughly impressed. They have also, so early in their career, they understand what they're trying to do. And they seamlessly blend everything together. And there's pretty much like little to no misses with it,
yep,
is the thing. And I think for a band that early in their career to know what they're doing, that is so indicative,
yep,
of what their long lasting effect is going to be in this scene. Obviously they're doing 20 years of this.
Yeah.
My overall top three from Silverstein's Discovering the Waterfront: Fists Wrapped in Blood.
Yeah.
I like how spooky the guitars are.
I almost dropped that in there and I'm like, I'm picking every song. I can't do it. But I was like, this is going to be a Lizzie song for sure.
It is. My second pick is Already Dead. The intro, it sounds like Coheed and Cambria. And it kind of lends to this mysterious story that they're telling in it too. And I'm a sucker for fun stories in a song. It's a lot less screamy than their other songs, so I was skeptical, but it's really well done. They're able to build a really intricate story in their lyrics, which, not to sound like old man yelling at the clouds, which there are even some artists today that haven't even mastered that, or are able to do that after their third or fourth album. Yeah. So I'm very impressed.
Yep.
My other one is Your Sword Versus My Dagger. This is where I'm gonna like sprint into the middle of the pit and then bring Brian with me and then shove him violently.
Oh, I can't get, there is no song on this record that I'm gonna get near you for. Not a one.
No,
not
Brian.
A one, because you're gonna be fucking feral. No, thank you.
It's fun.
At ferality, yeah, for the feral one.
My least favorites from Discovering the Waterfront by Silverstein is Call Me Karma.
Nah, dude, wrong.
The way that I want to describe it, it's curated well, but it's really bright in sound and intonation compared to everything else. He does this higher, like Shane Told does this higher voice, and I don't know how to really describe it, but I just don't like it. I heard it and I said, ooh, stop that.
It's
icky sounding.
Nah.
It reminds me of early mom rock before mom rock like really popped off and was good. And they had that certain like intonation in their voice. It didn't do anything for me. It wasn't that bad, but I could definitely say we could take this off the album and it'd be fine.
Nah, there's a reason they play this live a lot. There's a reason that it's been a song that they have kept in their catalog for so long, because it's very good. It's super catchy. It is the more poppy song on the record, I think, overall. So I get it, but nah. And on this episode, we are reviewing Story of the Year's Page Avenue, an album that just celebrated 20 years.
Yeah, that's wild.
All right.
To me. Absolutely insane.
Lizzie, why don't you tell us a little bit about this record and the background and the band of Story of the Year?
This was their debut album. It came out on September 16, 2003 on Maverick Records. It was produced by the one and only John Feldmann.
Sure was.
There were three whole singles off of this album. It was Until the Day I Die, Anthem of Our Dying Day, and Sidewalks. It was certified gold in April of 2004, mm-hmm, and certified platinum in 2021. So that's pretty sick. It was also number one on the Billboard Heat Seekers charts, mm-hmm, and number 51 on Billboard 200 chart. So it did pretty well right out the gate.
When I first saw this band, it was on MTV. MTV had music videos.
So crazy, so
I'm
wild.
I'm blowing minds here.
I know, you're blowing the youth out of the water here.
So I saw this on MTV, because there was right around that scene when like My Chem, The Used, Hawthorne Heights, like a lot of these bands started to get on TRL and stuff. And Story of the Year was another band started to like get caught up in that wave. So their music video came up. And my immediate thought was, these are industry plants.
Stop.
Because it was just so perfectly done with like doing guitar flips and back flips and the riffs they're playing, the breakdowns and the singing and the screaming, I was like, this is too perfect. Like, this is way too set up, right? And then like I was like, let me listen to it, because I am enjoying Until the Day I Die. I'm enjoying Anthem or Dying Day. Let me listen to this record. And like, damn, like immediately I was like, nope, this is great. This is a stupendous record. This is so good, so much fun. Every song's a banger. So I liked this record from jump. I was super into it. Obviously, Until the Day I Die and Anthem of a Dying Day are massive hits for the band. I've also seen them live a bunch of times. So I definitely know their music from them live. Warped Tour, tours they've done since, many venues around Chicago. They're great. They're a superb live band. Super fun to see. That also is one of the reasons I like this band so much in that way, too. My top three tracks from Page Avenue by Story of the Year, not picking the singles, not picking Until the Day I Die, Anthem of a Dying Day, skipping those, but obviously those are absolute blasts. In the Shadows should have been a single. That song is so good. Okay. That song is so much fun. It's an absolute ripper. It gets the people moving. It gets the people grooving. Love that song. Dive Right In. I think that's an underrated song on this record. It comes right after like all the singles and all like the heavy hitters at the top. Mm-hmm. And I think it keeps that momentum going a little bit. It definitely is. The record has some multifaceted parts where it's like, here's a little bit softer. Here's a little bit more melodic. Here's a little bit more heavy. Here's a little bit more punk rock. And I think this is one of the ones where it's like, it's doing something kind of in the middle there and keeping the pace, like adjusting, and you're not getting one note from the band. So I think that's an underrated banger for sure. It was hard to pick a third one because I'm like, this record rules. I love this record. So I picked And the Hero Will Drown, the first track, which I think is also just a real kick him in the ass, get it started. You're never going to go wrong with a song like that. So I think that's the kind of stuff that Story of the Year does really well on this record. There's a few songs that sound more like that. I think Until the Day I Die and Anthem are a little bit different from a lot of the rest of the record. But I think when they hit In the Shadows, Hero Will Drown, more of those like banger type shit, those are the ones where I'm like, yes, I get it. And I am in. The riffs are good. The breakdowns are good. Yeah. So those are, it's very hard to pick a top three. My least favorite tracks from Page Avenue by Story of the Year. None. This record is absolute heat. It's fire from top to bottom. That's the reason they can do a tour, do a 20-year tour playing every song.
So my takes about Story of the Year is Page Avenue. Here's the thing. I've heard a Story of the Year and I've heard of the story so far, and there's too many story bands, so I always get them mixed
only
up.
Two. It's only there's two.
There's one too many. So I always get them mixed up, and I never even, honestly, I'm be so for real, I'd never heard a Story of the Year until probably like 2017 when I started going to like emo nights. And I heard Until the Day I Die and I said, wow, this is a great song. Who is it? I have some critic reviews here. I have no idea when this was published, but it was on AllMusic by Stephen Kramer, and they gave it 3 out of 5 stars. Taking influence from a variety of modern rock, the quintet delivers a solid dashboard confessional-like spirited first effort from beginning to end. Page Avenue shows a band hell-bent on composing youthful anthems for the 21st century, hitting their target more often than not. Mm. Produced by John Feldman of Goldfinger, Dan Marcella's unyielding vocals certainly highlight the disc, along with the band's steady and layered instrumentation. The band's energy feeds off of agitation and frustration, and while they don't really offer anything new, their solid execution of the 12 songs on Page Avenue certainly impresses. Hey guys, guess what? We have more emo social content for you that gets left on the cutting room floor and just extended interviews and all other shenanigans over on our new Patreon. Well, not new, a little bit revamped Patreon. So just for either free $99 or $1 a month, if you want to get access to a little bit more content, you can support us in what we're doing here at ESC and all the content that we are putting out. And of course, just consume more of us in our maybe bad takes. You can check it out through the link in the bio or simply search on Patreon Emo Social Club.
And this episode today, we are reviewing the All-American Rejects self-titled record. Before we get into our takes on this record, we thought that they were playing Move Along.
Yeah, we did.
Which it's going to be very hard to give my take on this record without mentioning, like, why are they not playing that record?
And we talked about it too, because also 2002, we've already passed what would have been the milestone date, yeah, technically. So the next one would be Move Along, which is 2025.
Yeah.
So it came out in 2005, so 20 years. So that would make more sense with the dates aligning.
What I'm assuming is they don't want to do it here. They want to do their own tour for 20 years next year, which I get. I don't think it would be a bad thing to play the record at When We Were Young this year, but we're getting this record instead.
Yeah, here we are.
So there's that. But we definitely thought it was going to be Move Along, and we were hearing all those songs. And as a side note, that record fucks. Anyway, we're not reviewing Move Along. We're reviewing this record.
So stay along and have fun.
Move Along. God, everything I'm saying right now feels so bad because I absolutely love the All-American Rejects.
No, that's the thing is that, again, love Move Along.
Yeah.
Their album has Gives You Hell on it is also very solid.
They made so much better music. I do think this is an immature record, but I do think that you see the potential and the promise in this band. And I'm so glad that they made Move Along. And I really hate that the entire review of this record is, God, I wish they weren't playing this record.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's rough. There's some very good moments, but it is rough altogether as a package, I think. Well, that hurts to say. Obviously, we have an opinion. Our opinion is not the only one that matters. There are many people out there that will be buying tickets to this, giving their opinion with their attendance. So we wanted to get some other people's opinions on this record. And so I looked at Amazon. Lizzie found some critics. What did they think? What are they thinking about this record? This is a review from December 10th, 2017.
Okay, so more recent.
15 years later. 5-star review from Mel. Great music, great vocals, good storylines. I was the new kid and I didn't know anyone, so my times were sent in the library the first month with this album and a book to keep me company. It was great, although lonely. This album kept me sane. These guys are great. Music is amazing. I love it. Mel, I hope you're okay.
Hey, Mel, I hope you... Listen, I get that vibe, but you know what you could have done? Not listen to that album.
It hurts me so much to say these things.
I know. Well, you know who else had thoughts and opinions on this? Critics. And this was written in 2003 by Elizabeth Bromstein, and it was rated N. I don't know what that means.
N,
like the letter N.
Oh,
I couldn't find.
Are we talking alphabet?
Yeah.
Like A is the best and Z is the worst.
That's what the only thing I could think of. The only other thing I could think about is if like Y and N, like yes and no.
Oh, okay.
That's maybe it, yeah. But I have no idea. This ranking system, maybe this is why it's archived and it's no longer on site, but besides that point.
On site.
As if their horrifyingly overdone pop punk thing weren't bad enough, the All-American Rejects seem intent on embodying their name. Every last song on this record deals with lost love and loneliness. Jesus. Why don't you just stick a loser sign on your forehead and save us the trouble? Incorporating the odd classic rock or 80s pop elements doesn't improve things. In fact, it makes it worse, since it feels like they've crammed everything they know in here. Obviously, they don't know much.
I don't generally like it when we have a negative reviewer, like a critic who's like really down on a record, even a record that I don't like. But this one, I'm like, okay.
Like, listen, and there's been, we've had a lot of those.
Like, yeah, but sadly, I'm like kind of on her side on this one. Fuck.
Ew. Thanks for listening, guys. And again, those are all fully up on our YouTube channel. You can go over there, subscribe, of course, and watch all of them and also see your facial reaction. It adds a little bit of a spice to the entire thing. Until next time, I have been Lizzie, and we will have a interview incoming for you next week. So make sure that you are following us and you're subscribed to us so you don't miss it. We'll see you next time. Bye.